The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This past summer, I had the privilege to spend 2 weeks in a language immersion course studying ancient Greek. And I did it in Greece, and my wife and my daughter came along with me. And unlike every other place I've studied ancient Greek, this place wanted me not just to read ancient Greek, but to speak it. And to that end, they had a talent show at the end of the 2 weeks. And they encouraged everyone in the class, they didn't require us, but they encouraged everyone in the class to perform a speech at this talent show in ancient Greek. And the day of the talent show happened to be my wife's 40th birthday. I figure, what a golden opportunity, yeah? Jesus also has an incredible opportunity. He has the opportunity to preach in his hometown synagogue for the very first time. And at first, it seems like it's going really well. People speak well of him. They're amazed at his gracious words. They're like, hey, isn't this one of our guys? This is Joseph's son. But by the end of the speech, they want to throw Jesus off a cliff. And it seems the moment he loses them is when he tells them that he's not going to perform miracles for them. That he's going to do what prophets before him have done, which is to give God's miracles to foreigners instead of God's chosen people. It would be like me standing up on Annalisa's 40th birthday and my speech being, I'm going to give gifts to everyone here except my wife. Yeah, that would get me thrown off a cliff. And so I made the point in my speech to do the exact opposite of what Jesus did. I was going to make it all about how great my wife was. Now, the whole class, the whole 2 weeks, was spent studying what ancient Greek authors wrote about Helen of Troy, right? The most beautiful woman in the world, the woman over whom the Trojan War was fought, the face that launched 1,000 ships. And I figured my speech would be all about how my wife, Annalisa, is more beautiful than Helen of Troy, yeah? I spent a week writing this thing, waking up early in the morning so I could check my Greek dictionary, going to my professor's office hours, staying up late practicing it. And then on her 40th birthday, underneath a canopy of fig trees with Annalisa in the front row, I performed flawlessly this speech in ancient Greek, and I received thunderous applause, the praise of my professors, the admiration of my peers. The only person who didn't seem to be impressed, seemed to know where this is going, was my wife, yeah? Now, it may be because she didn't speak ancient Greek, so she had no idea what I said. You know, fair enough. But, you know, in the after party, I was mingling with her and with another wife of a student there who didn't speak ancient Greek, and so I explained to them both what it was I said, and let me tell you, the wife of that other student was swooning with how romantic I was. My wife just kind of nodded. I said to her, well, how would you like to celebrate the rest of your birthday evening? And she said, you know, I think I'm ready to go to bed. I wasn't thrown off a cliff in that moment, but it kind of felt like it. I was confused, a little hurt. In subsequent conversations, she explained to me, she said, you know, that speech was supposed to be for me. But it was in a language that I didn't understand, but everyone else did. So who was that speech for? She said, the speech was supposed to be about how wonderful I am, but really it was a speech about how wonderful you are, Ben. A speech about how wonderful you are at ancient Greek and public speaking. So that was my 40th birthday. It was supposed to be a celebration of me. It ended up being a celebration of you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And he goes on to say, if I understand all mysteries and all knowledge but do not have love, I have nothing. I spoke in the language of the ancient scriptures. I understood the mysteries of the ancient writers, but I did not have love in that moment. And you say, well, why didn't you have love? Well, Paul says to the Corinthians that that love is not boastful or arrogant. It does not insist on its own way. For my wife's 40th birthday, I insisted on my own way. I insisted on making her birthday an opportunity for me to boast about how great I was. Martin Luther, in his lecture on the Romans, on the book of Romans, he describes sin as the curving inward of our heart. The heart curving inward so that it seeks to make everything for its personal benefit, even God, our sin seeks to make for our personal benefit, and it does so without realizing it. I sought to make my wife's birthday for my benefit without realizing it. But Luther says that's what all of us do with God. And that's what the people of Nazareth do. Because you see, Jesus comes to them and say that he is the fulfillment of God's promises in Isaiah 61, that Jesus has been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. And the people of Nazareth go, that's wonderful, and you're going to start with us, right? Because this is Joseph's son. He's one of us, and if he's one of us, then certainly the Messiah must be for our benefit first. What's the point of the Messiah coming if his family, friends, and neighbors aren't the first one to receive God's benefits? But just like Annalisa had to clarify some things for me, Jesus clarifies some things for the people of his hometown. He says, no, actually, you're not going to get the miracles that I have done elsewhere. He says, surely you will quote me the proverb, doctor, cure yourself, and say to me, do here in your hometown the deeds we have heard you did in Capernaum. But Jesus says, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I want to say, no prophet is accepted in his hometown, not in the sense of welcome. Jesus is certainly welcomed initially there. But no prophet is accepted in the sense of understood or grasped, like you might accept an idea in your mind. Because here's the thing. Prophets have a tendency to do miracles. Yeah? But miracles are not the point of prophets. The point of prophets are to call us to live out God's love. Miracles are just a way to get people's attention. And that's why the prophets do miracles for foreigners in the Old Testament, because why are people of other nations going to listen to the God of Israel unless those prophets show them that this God is relevant to them? But the prophets don't do that in their hometowns because presumably those hometowns already know about the God of Israel. Those hometowns already value God's message because those hometowns raise the prophets to speak God's word. You see, miracles are not a reward for the faithful. Miracles are a welcome sign for the faithless. Which is why when we reach the fulfillment of our faith, we won't have them anymore. And this is what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. He says, love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will end. Prophecies, speaking in tongues, knowledge, all these things have their end goal, and that end goal is described in verse 12, in which Paul says, now I see as in a mirror dimly, but then I will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I am fully known. The point of every spiritual gift, including miracles, is to help us see and know Jesus as Jesus sees and fully knows us. And so when we get to that place of seeing and knowing Jesus, all those spiritual gifts, including miracles, will cease, except for three. Paul says, now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Faith, that being known by Jesus is good. Hope, that knowing and being known by someone for eternity will continually bring forth new wonders each and every day. And love, that commitment to knowing and being fully known, even when what is known within us isn't always perfect. The greatest of these is love. Jesus does miracles for other towns because they don't know him, and he needs to get their attention. Jesus doesn't do miracles for his hometown because they know him. Presumably, they know him better than anyone else on earth. They helped raise him. They taught him the stories that he quotes them in their own synagogue. He says to them, I'm not going to do miracles for you because you're going to get something better. You get the opportunity to share God's love with people who don't know it yet. You get the opportunity to share me. Yeah, they're not convinced, the people of Nazareth. They don't buy it. And I will tell you what, I wasn't convinced either. And so my wife explained to me what it was she really wanted for her birthday. She said, I don't want you showing off. That's not what I want. I want you to show that you see me, that you see who I am and what I care about. I want to know that I am fully known by you. And as I reflected on what my wife Annalisa had done for my birthday, it occurred to me that we had gone swimming in the creek and we had played silly theater games. And these were things that required no money. Maybe they required some skill, but honestly, having less skill at theater games makes it more fun. She didn't show off with any of that, but she showed up. She showed up and did those things, even though they're not her favorite things, but she did them because they're mine. She showed that she knew me and wanted to share life with me. And it was wonderful. And so this Christmas, I had another opportunity to give something wonderful to my wife. And this Christmas, I did end up preaching another sermon about how wonderful my wife was. But that wasn't my gift to her. I made a point of that, yeah? I made a point of paying attention to what it is she actually cares about. And of course, what she cares about most is our daughter, who's 3 years old and who loves stomping in muddy puddles. That's her favorite thing in the world right now. And my wife would go to take out our daughter and stomp in these muddy puddles, but my wife has these very stylish rain boots that are too short and they always leak and she gets waterlogged. And so what I got her for Christmas was a pair of heavy-duty rain boots with good arch support and traction that cost $60 and 30 minutes of my time. It is the best gift I have ever gotten her. It's the best gift I have ever gotten her because she uses them on an almost daily basis in this weather. And she uses them to go and share in joy with our daughter. And for me, getting to see my wife share that joy with my daughter is better than all the applause I got for that speech I gave in Greek. That's only possible because my wife was willing to have a hard conversation with me about my failure to love her well. Yeah? Paul says that love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. My wife didn't rejoice to tell me that I had messed up her 40th birthday, but she rejoiced to help me love her better by telling me the truth of what I was doing. You see, when Paul says love bears all things, Paul isn't saying that love passively accepts all things. The word bears, in Greek, it's stego. Yeah? And you're all saying, well, that's a weird word. I've never heard of that before. You have heard this word before. You know this word. Every single child in our congregation knows this word because the word stegosaurus is the same word. That is a stego lizard. Okay, what does that mean? Well, when archaeologists first saw a stegosaurus, they thought it had a roof on its back. Stego as a noun, it means roof, but a verb in its verb form, which is what we have in 1 Corinthians 13, is everything a roof does. A roof covers, right? My wife didn't publicly shame me. I'm doing that myself. My wife didn't publicly shame me for what I did on her birthday. She came to me privately and said, hey, Ben, this is the problem. But, well, let's go back to the definition of stego there. But stego also keeps things out like a roof does, right? It's got to keep water out. It's got to repel and resist the elements. So, too, love must keep out the behaviors that will undermine it, that will sink it, that will erode it. And in so doing, love bears up all things. Jesus rejoices to tell the truth to his hometown that while he will not do miracles for them, they get something better to share God's love. And when they want to throw him off a cliff for that, he stegos them. Yeah, he resists them, not by fighting them, but by passing through their midst, by going on his way and doing the thing that God has called him to do, to share God's love. And everywhere that Jesus goes and shares God's love, he is doing so known as Jesus of Nazareth. When Jesus is crucified, when he fulfills the promise of Isaiah 61 on the cross, and he brings good news to our spiritual poverty when he frees us from captivity to sin and opens our eyes to the limitless love of God, when he frees us from oppression of death. Jesus does so under a sign written by Pontius Pilate that is abbreviated the world over with the letters I-N-R-I. Those letters are an abbreviation in Latin, which we have on the next slide. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Ideorum, which in Latin means Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Nazareth is recorded in Scripture as trying to kill Jesus. But Jesus makes sure that Nazareth is known for so much more. Nazareth is known the world over as the place from which the Savior of the world came. Jesus may not have multiplied loaves and fishes there or raised the dead there, but Jesus performs his greatest miracle. He loves them there and lets them be known, not just in their sin, but in the fullness of who they are. And so this week, if you feel yourself frustrated because you would like miracles to happen, may you give someone the greatest miracle of all. May you love them by taking time to get to know them and let them know you. And if you are frustrated because there are people in this world who are angry that God's blessings are being given to others and not them, may you stego such people as Jesus stegoed the people of Nazareth. May you pass through them. May you go on your way and continue to do what God has called you to do, to share God's love, that each of us may be known in Christ. Amen.